Today's daf is Shabbos daf Samech Aleph, and we are at the last line of daf Samech Amid Beis, the two dots, V'loi b'yachid b'zman she'ein b'ragloi makra. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Chaim Yechiel Yosef ben Sarah, Yitzchok Eliyo ben Chaya Sarah, Avram Kaddish ben Malka Bela, Avram Yekosil ben Gittel, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basya, Baruch Tzvi ben Shloimes Feiga, Chaim Yeshua Shmuel Daniel ben Nira Bela, Chaim Binyamin Mordechai ben Ida, Yael Bas Bela, Rachel Maita Bas Sara, and El Yakim Getzel ben Brana Esther. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilu Nishmas, Shloimes Zev ben Avram Yitzchak, Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Alchanan, and Esther Bas Aharon. So, on the previous daf, we began the second Mishnah of the Perek, which discuss halachos that pertain not only to women, but to men as well. So the name of the Perek is Bama Isha, meaning Bama Isha Yoitza, Uvama Ina Yoitza. Certain things that a woman is allowed to go outside with on Shabbos, certain things a woman is not allowed to go outside with on Shabbos. The second Mishnah expanded the discussion not only to things that a woman is not allowed to wear outside on Shabbos, but also things that a man is not allowed to wear outside on Shabbos. The first thing the Mishnah said was, Lo Yetze Ha'ish Besando Hamasumer, which was the topic of Masechta Shabbos Daf Samach. Easy to remember. Sandal Hamasumer is Shabbos Daf Samach. A lot of Samachs. The second halach in the Mishnah is V'loi B'yachid B'zman She'im B'ragloi Maka. A person is not allowed to go outside on Shabbos wearing one sandal, meaning wearing one shoe, unless, here's the caveat, he has a wound on one of his feet. So to go outside on Shabbos wearing only one shoe is not okay, but that's only bizman she'en v'ragloi maka. Clearly implying if a person would have a maka, then it would be okay to go outside wearing only one shoe. Rashi in the Mishnah brought two pshatim why it's aser to go outside on Shabbos wearing only one shoe. The first pshat he brought b'shem d'Yerushalmi. The second pshat he brought in the name of his rabbein. We'll mention the second pshat. And that is because there's a concern that if you're going to be walking outside with one shoe, you may pass somebody. The person will think it's funny. He's going to laugh. He's going to mock you. He's going to make fun of you. There's a concern that you may take it personally. As a result, you'll be embarrassed, you'll take the shoe off, and you're going to carry it, Dal Ramas Peshus HaRabim. So there was a Gzeira Shema Yav Yirenu Dal Ramas Peshus HaRabim, because what you're doing is somewhat unusual, you may be embarrassed. It's for that reason the Chachamim said that if you're wearing one shoe, you're not allowed to go outside on Shabbos. Says the Gemara. It's clearly implied that if a person would have a maka on his foot, then it would be okay to go outside wearing only one shoe. Says the Gemara, behind when we say that if you have a maka, you're allowed to wear one shoe on Shabbos, does it mean you're allowed to wear the one shoe on the foot that has the maka? Or does it mean you're allowed to wear one shoe on the foot that does not have the maka? It means that a person, if he has a maka, would be allowed to wear the one shoe on the foot that has the maka. Says the Gemara, Alma Kasavar, it's clear that Rav Huna must have been of the opinion, sandal l'shom tzar, of that people used to wear a sandal when they were otherwise in pain, meaning it was used to protect the foot. Okay, what's the punchline? It's for that reason, if the person has a maka, he's allowed to wear the shoe on the foot that has the maka. Because what would be the reason not to wear one shoe on Shabbos? Someone's going to make fun of you, you're going to take it off, and you're going to carry it. But being that this person has a maka, and he's wearing the sandal on the shoe, or on the foot that has the maka, there's no concern that he may take it off, because he's just going to put himself in a very uncomfortable situation. So being that he's wearing the shoe to protect himself from pain, what's negeya to our Mishnah is there's no concern he's going to take it off. If there's no concern he's going to take it off, so in that case, he's allowed to wear the one shoe on Shabbos. Chiyah Rav, Chiyah Rav said differently. He said, no, when the Mishnah said that if you have a maka, you are allowed to wear one shoe on Shabbos, what it meant was you're allowed to wear the one shoe on the foot that does not have the maka. Alma Kasavar, Lashum Tainug of it. So you see that Chiyah Rav held that people wore these shoes, not necessarily because of maka, but to the contrary, it's because they wanted to feel good. If that's the case, then the reason the Mishnah says that you are allowed to wear one shoe on Shabbos is because being that you're wearing it on the foot that does not have the maka, and the one that's exposed is the one that has the makkah, there's no concern that someone's going to make fun of you. If you walk into shul on Shabbos with a cast on one foot and a shoe on the other foot, there's nothing unusual about that. If you're wearing the shoe on the foot that has the makkah, so then a person that sees you doesn't chap that you have a makkah on the one shoe. He may laugh at you. So there you have to come on to a reason that it's not a problem. There's no concern. You're going to take off the shoe and carry it because you're wearing it l'shum tzar and you don't want to put yourself in a situation of pain. If, however, when the Mishnah says that yesh beragloi makkah, it's okay, it means you're allowed to wear it on the foot that does not have the makkah, then there's no explanation needed. Then it's pashut why you would be okay, because you're wearing it on the foot that has no makkah. The one that doesn't have the shoe is the one with the makkah. If it's with the makkah, no one's going to think it's funny. As a result, there's no concern that you may come to take it off. Zok tigmar afra b'yoichanan savar lo lahad rav huna. Rav Yoichanan also held like rav huna. Now when the Mishnah says that on Shabbos, although ordinarily you're not allowed to wear just one shoe, but if you have a makkah, you're allowed to wear a shoe on the foot that has a makkah. Rabbi Yochanan held the same way. Because Rabbi Yochanan once told his Talmud, Rabbi Shimon bar Abba, Havli misanoi, pass me my shoes. And instead of giving him both shoes, he only gave him one shoe. And you know what shoe he gave him? Yavle diyamin. He gave him his right shoe. Amalei. So Rabbi Yochanan told Rabbi Shimon bar Abba, sisay makkah. You're treating me, you're going to make me look as if I have a wound on one of my feet. We'll see soon, the Rabbi Yochanan held that when a person puts on his shoes, he has to put on first his left shoe, and only afterwards is he allowed to put on his right shoe. Now, being there, Rabbi Shimon bar Abba gave Rabbi Yochanan his right shoe. Had Rabbi Yochanan put it on, Rabbi Yochanan would not have been able to put his left shoe on. If that's the case, he would have been walking around with one shoe. So Rabbi Yochanan said, oh, I'm only wearing my right shoe, I'm going to look like I have a makkah. Now the Gemara assumes that Rabbi Yochanan was saying that I'm going to look like I have a makkah on my right foot. I'm wearing my right shoe, it's going to look like I have a makkah on my right foot. So you see that this idea that sometimes a person that has a makkah will wear one shoe, and it's not unusual, and you can even do it on Shabbos, is where you wear the shoe on the foot that has the makkah. But the Gemara responds very obviously, V'dilma k'chi b'raf s'vili, how do you know it's Rabbi Yochanan meant? Or Rabbi Yochanan was telling Rabbi Shimon bar Abba was, is that I'm going to only be wearing one shoe. If I'm wearing one shoe, it's going to look like I have a makkah. On which foot? Not necessarily on the foot that I'm wearing the shoe, but maybe to the contrary. Maybe other you're going to make it look like I have a makkah on my left foot. Now, Rabbi Yochanan didn't have a makkah on his left foot, which is why the Gemara probably thought that Rabbi Yochanan was saying, you're going to make it look like I have a makkah on my right foot, the one that's covered by the shoe. The point is, I'm going to be walking around like people that have a makkah walk around. If someone has a makkah on his foot, will sometimes wear one shoe. That's the way I'm going to look. Either way, there's no Haychacha from Rabbi Yochanan whether he held that it's the foot that has the shoe on that's going to look like has the makkah, or it's the foot that doesn't have the shoe on that's going to look like has the makkah. So, parenthetically, from this story, Rabbi Yochanan told Rabbi Shimon bar Abba, pass me my shoes, and he gave him only his right shoe. Rabbi Yochanan said, if I put on my right shoe, I can't put on my left, and it's going to look like I have a makkah. On which foot? The Gemara wasn't sure. But it's going to look like I have a makkah. The Gemara says, this is Rabbi Yochanan l'shitasa. Rabbi Yochanan that held, I can't put on my left shoe once I put on my right shoe, is l'shitasa. And this next Gemara is a classic Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, kitfilin kach minalin. Shoes are treated like tefillin. Ma tefillin besmoil. Just like tefillin you put on your left hand. Most people wear tefillin on their left hand. Because the Torah says, v'hoi lo'isal yotcha. Yotcha is yadkeh. You have to put it on your weaker hand. Most people are righties. And as a result, they put that tefillin on their left hand. So Rabbi Yochanan said, just like you put tefillin on your left hand, af minalim besmoil. So too, you're supposed to put your left shoe on first. So much so, Rabbi Yochanan, if you put your right shoe on first, you can't put on your left shoe afterwards. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan was saying, that if I put on my right, I won't be able to put on my left. I'll look like I have a makkah. This Rabbi Yochanan l'shitasoi, who held first left and that right. Faith the Gemara, is that true? First you put on your left shoe, then you put on your right shoe. Like tefillin, meisveik shunayo. No, you'll show you. When you put your shoes on first, you're supposed to put your right shoe on, then you're supposed to put your left shoe on. Just the opposite. I'm Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef said, hashtu tanya hachi. I'm Rabbi Yochanan hachi. So we have a braisa that says you're supposed to put your right shoe on first. Rabbi Yochanan was clearly of the opinion, kitfilin kach menalin, you're supposed to put your left shoe on first. So Rabbi Yosef said that being that Rabbi Yochanan went kineged the braisa, the ovid hachi ovid, or the hachi ovid hachi. You could do whatever you want. You could do your left shoe first, like Rabbi Yochanan said. You could do your right shoe first, like the braisa said. What's the pshat? Pshat is because Rabbi Yosef held that there's no way Rabbi Yochanan argued with the braisa. Rabbi Yochanan, even though was maybe the greatest Amora of all time, but at the same time, Rabbi Yochanan was not allowed to argue with the Tanu. There's only one Amora you find in Shas that the Gemara says was a Tanu Paling, and that's the Amora Rab. Other than that, Rabbi Yochanan, Shmuel, Rabbi Chanina, all the Gedolei Amiraim were not allowed to argue with Tanoim. If that's the case, Rabbi Yochanan can't argue with the Braisa. So Rabbi Yosef said, if Rabbi Yochanan can't argue with the Braisa, Rabbi Yochanan must have had another Braisa, a Tanu de Misayele. If there's two Braises, then one that says you put your right shoe on first, one that says you put your left shoe on first. So if that's the case, you can do whatever you want. Avet hachi, avet hachi, avam le'abayu. Sabai told Rabbi Yosef, I don't know if that's true. Dumer Rabbi Yochanan, masis le'avet shmile. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan didn't know this Braisa. How do you know for sure Rabbi Yochanan knew this Braisa? And if he argued with this Braisa, it's because he had a Tanu de Misayele. Thus, there's two conflicting prices, and if you want to pick and choose which price you want to go, like, you have a right to do that. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan didn't know this price. So. And in fact, we have Ishmili, have a Hadabay. Maybe had he known this price, he would have been Chayzer. So maybe Rabbi Yochanan's wrong. Meaning, from the fact Rabbi Yochanan's connected a price, so you're supposed to assume there must have been another price? So? How do you have a right to do that, said Abaye? Maybe to the contrary. It comes out, what emerges is Rabbi Yochanan's connected a Braisa. Rabbi Yochanan has no right to argue with the Braisa. As a result, Rabbi Yochanan's knocked out. Or maybe the Inami Shmile, because of in Allah Chayza Mishnah. Maybe had Rabbi Yochanan known that Braisa, he would have knocked out the Braisa. Bottom line is, he can't be Mechiach anything from here. You can't decide Rabbi Yochanan for sure knew the Braisa. He must have had another Braisa. As a result, you have a series of Braises. As a result, you can do whatever you want. Bottom line is, Okti Gemara, Rab Nachim Bar Yitzchok, Yore Shemaim Yotzi Deshem. So whereas Rabbi Yosef said, you could do whatever you want. Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchok had a different approach. He said a Yorei Shemayim should do both. Or a Yorei Shemayim did both. Who's that? Yorei Shemayim that did both. Umanoi mar brei derabon. Says Mahechi of it. How's it possible? How can you put your right shoe on first and put your left shoe on first? So Gemara says, Saim Diamina. He used to put his right shoe on first for like Kater and he didn't tie it, his shoes. But Saim this morning, he would put his left shoe on for Kater and he would tie his left shoe first. Father Kater Diamina, and then he would tie his right shoe. So how did he do both? He put his right shoe on first, but he tied his left shoe first. He put his right shoe on first like the Braisa. He tied his left shoe first, like Rabbi Yochanan. Amr Rav Ashi said, Chazinu Rav Kahana, like Kapit Aiso Rav Kahana, and he wasn't makbid. Meaning he wasn't makbid which way to do it. Tana Rabbanon, Kshu Noyo, when you put your shoes on Noyo Shon, you put your right shoe on first, then you put your left shoe on. Ukshu Chaylitz, when you take your shoes off, Chaylitz Shal Smal, first you should take your left shoe off, Ma'achaka Chaylitz Shal Yamin, afterwards you should take your right shoe off. Ukshu Roichetz, when you bathe, Roichetz Shal Yamin, first you should bathe your right side, like your right hand, your right foot, Ma'achaka Roichetz Shal Smal, after you should bathe your left. Ukishu sach, when you smear yourself with oil, sach shall your men. Let's say you're going to do your whole body. Do your head first. Because your head is the melech on all yevarim. Bottom line is, so this is the well-known Gemara from which emerges a well-known halacha, and that is that every single detail of our lives are literally micromanaged as to the point of how you put your shoes on. So when it comes to put your shoe on, so what's the halacha? So Rabbi Yochanan said you're supposed to put your left shoe on first. In fact, he uttered the immortal words, "Kitfilin kach menalim." There's some kesher, pun intended, there's some connection between tefillin and shoes, that just like you put tefillin on your left hand, so too you're supposed to put your left shoe on first. The Gemara the Braisa. The Braisa is just the opposite. You're supposed to be Noel Shel Yamin, V'acha Kach Noel Shel Smol. Rabbi Yosef said you could do whatever you want. Abaye wasn't so happy with that. Rav Kahana wasn't makbid. But the Gemara did say, Omer Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, a Yorei Shemayim that I know was Yoytzi Yidei Shneim. Who was that? It was Mar Berei De Rabbono. What did he do? He was Mekayim Shneim. He would do the right and the left first. How's that possible? He put up first on the right shoe. And when it came to tie the shoes, he would tie the left one first, and from here comes this halacha that when you put your shoes on right and then left, if you're going to tie shoes also, you tie first your left, then you tie your right. Tosfos says that it's not a coincidence that when it comes to tying, it's dvir that the Yorei Shemayim would tie the left first. Why? Because kitfilin kach mina'alin, when you put on tefillin, tefillin shal yad, which goes on the yad kei, which goes on your left hand, what are you doing? Ukshartem. What you're doing is you're tying the tefillin on your hand. So being that the makar to do the left shoe first is from tefillin, and by tefillin you're tying, you're not merely putting. You're tying, so it makes sense then as it relates to the tying of the shoe, that should be doimet tefillin, that should be in your left hand. As it relates to putting the shoe on, that's the right. Either way, we'll get back to this, and that's Hashem, at the end of the daf, with the first rate bite. But the Mishnah continue. And the Mishnah said, "V'loy betfillin," that a person is not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. So again, "V'yetze ish besandal amasumer." We discussed that. "V'loy beyachid bezman she'im beragler maka." We discussed that. "V'loy betfillin," you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. Now the Mishnah said at the end, as it relates to everything mentioned in this Mishnah, "V'im yotze ene chayiv chatas," meaning everything that's mentioned in this Mishnah is asa midrabban, not asa midraisa. Midi b'dieved. If a person would go outside with tefillin, that's the Gemara we're learning now, he wouldn't be chayiv chatas. He'd be over an isa drabban and not an isa deraisa. Rav Safra. Rav Safra said, "Loy teim al libidaman dama Shabbos lavs man tefillin." Who don't think that our Mishnah is going dafke according to the man that holds that Shabbos is lav zman tefillin, meaning we don't put on tefillin on Shabbos. But the truth is, it's a big time sugya in Masechtas Erevin, Daf Tzadik Hei, where the Gemara brings a machlokes tanon, whether Shabbos is man tefillin or Shabbos is lav zman tefillin. So Rav Safra said at first glance, it may be very tempting to say that the machlokes in our, or the halach in our Mishnah, that a person is not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos is really totally in the machlokes is whether Shabbos is man tefillin or Shabbos is lav's man tefillin. Rav Safra said, no, let's be clear. Don't think that the Mishnah is going only according to man that holds Shabbos lav's man tefillin. Ella, afilu l'man dama Shabbos man tefillin u lo yeitze. If the old Shabbos is man tefillin, still you're not allowed to go outside. Meaning, if Shabbos is lav's man tefillin, it seems to be more posh, you're not allowed to wear it outside on Shabbos. Even if it's Zman tefillin, meaning people wore tefillin on Shabbos, according to some Tanakh. Even then, it was also to go outside with it on Shabbos. Why? Because we're afraid that you may take your tefillin off in a Rosh Hashanah. We'll see more about that in the Gemara. Just like you don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shecholias B'Shabbos, you don't take Dalad Minim on Sukkah Shecholias B'Shabbos. If you hold Shabbos as Zman tefillin, you don't wear tefillin in a Rosh Hashanah Minim. You can ask about Sefer. Some had this on the Sefer. Sefer says, that b'di'eved, if somebody would wear tefillin on Shabbos b'shogig, he wouldn't be chayv chatas. That's another way of saying that tefillin on Shabbos is asa midrabanan, not midrayisa. On that, Rav Safra. Rav Safra said, "Loitei mali b'demand of Shabbos man tefillin." Don't think that this is going dafkin according to man that holds the Shabbos is man tefillin. El afilu l'mand of Shabbos loves man tefillin. Even according to man that holds Shabbos is loves man tefillin, ain't chayv chatas. Meaning, you'd think maybe if Shabbos is man tefillin, so it's the time to wear tefillin, being that it's a time to wear tefillin, but the evidence, if you were outside on Shabbos, you weren't Michal Shabbos. At the end of the day, it's a malbush. It's appropriate to be wearing it right now. So if it's appropriate to be wearing it, it's not a Chil Shabbos. But if you hold Shabbos is Lav's man tefillin, then maybe it should be considered carrying. So maybe it should be more chomer. Maybe it should be Chayv Chatas. So again, Rav Safra said, no, that's not the way it is. My time, meaning, afilu l'man d'om Shabbos, Lav's man tefillin, ain't Chayv Chatas. Because at the end of the day, It's a derech malbush. Even if the old Shabbos is lav's man tefillin, still it's a derech malbush. The bottom line is the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. If you do, you're over chil Shabbos d'rabbanan, not chil Shabbos d'raisa. Zok to Gemara, this Mishnah has nothing to do with whether Shabbos is man tefillin or Shabbos is lav's man tefillin. Both the first halacha mentioned in the Mishnah as it relates to tefillin on Shabbos and the second halacha mentioned in the Mishnah as it relates to Shabbos work very, very well whether you hold Shabbos as man tefillin or Shabbos as lav's man tefillin. As it relates to the specific svaras, whether you hold Shabbos man tefillin or Shabbos lav's man tefillin, tefillin is always a malbush for a man. And as a result, if a man wears tefillin outside in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, he's never considered carrying. And as a result, he'll never be chayiv chatas. Additionally, even if you hold Shabbos as man tefillin, it's for sure asa midrabanan to wear tefillin outside, because there's a gzeira shemi avirenu dal and amis b'shus harabim, as we're going to see a little bit more in the Gemara. The Mishnah continued, and the Mishnah said, v'loy b'kameya, a person is not allowed to wear a kameya on Shabbos, bizman she'ena min amumcha. So what's a kameya? Rashi in the Mishnah said, shakoisfin, a kameya was a ksav that somebody would write psukim and different shemos hakdoshim, the toyan and l'rafua. People would carry it l'rafua. So the Mishnah says, are you allowed to wear a kameya on Shabbos? So a kameya, bizman she'ena min amumcha, you're not allowed to wear on Shabbos. Clearly implied is if the kameya was written or was a kameya mumcha, at that point you would be allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Zok de gemar, amar apapa. Rapapa said, loy teima, when the Mishnah says that a kameya, that's ena min amumcha, you're not allowed to wear on Shabbos. Implying that if it is min amumcha, you are allowed to wear on Shabbos. So what's the definition of mumcha? So Rapapa said, don't think ad mumcha gavra mumcha kameya. In order for it to be considered mumcha, in order for you to be able to wear it on Shabbos, it would have to be mumcha on two fronts. Number one, the one that wrote it has to be established as a mumcha. And number two, the kamei itself has to be established as a mumcha. Elo, said Rav Papa, kimi the mumcha gavro, as long as the cipher is a mumcha, afak after a mumcha kamei, even if the kamei itself isn't mumcha, the halacha is, it would be okay, that would be enough for it to be considered mumcha, you'd be allowed to wear it on Shabbos. What does this all mean? So Rashi has two pshatim exactly what this means. We'll go with Rashi's inami, just to keep it simple. When we talk about a kamei mumcha, it can mean one of three things. It can mean that the sofer that wrote the kamei was established as a mumcha. So assuming the way you become a mumcha is by getting it right three times, at first glance, maybe it's totally in the Machlokes Rebbe and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, whether you establish a chazaka when something happens twice, or whether you establish a chazaka when something happens three times. But let's assume three times, that's for sure the way the Gemara is going to read. So if the cipher three times wrote a kameya, he gave it to a chayla, and the chayla had a refuah. So this cipher now, this mekubal, whoever it is that wrote the kameya, now has a chazaka that he's a mumcha. The gadfer, the mensch, the person that's behind it, he establishes himself as someone that's good at kameyas. His kameyas actually work. They're a good segula. The person that carries it has a refuah. So a gavra mumcha would be where somebody had established himself as his kameyas work, and now he wrote a kameya. That could be this kameya no one's ever seen. This is a chiddush of a kameya. But once we establish this person as getting it right, so that would be enough already to assume that maybe his kameyas moving forward are okay. That would be the definition of a mumcha. You can have where the kameya itself is a mumcha, meaning this kameya, different people have used, and they've all had Yeshuas from it. In that case, it doesn't even matter who wrote it. The Nusach itself works. And being that the Nusach itself works, that could be okay. Or the definition of Mumcha can mean both. Maybe you need two things. You need, number one, it was written by a Gavra, a person, a Makobo, that's Becheskas, that his Kameyas work. Additionally, this Kameya in particular happens to be a Kameya that's established itself that it works. So again, what does Mumcha mean? Does Mumcha mean the Gavra is a Mumcha? Does Mumcha mean the Kameya is a Mumcha? Or maybe Mumcha means both. So that's what our Papa came to address. He said, my tema, don't think Adam Mumcha Gavra or Mumcha Kameya. Don't think you need that both the person should be a Mumcha and the Kameya should be a Mumcha, that they both have to be established. Meaning it's a Kameya that we know works and it was written by a Mekubal that we know his Kameyas in general work. Even the Mumcha Gavra, as long as the person that wrote it is a Mumcha, even if the Kameya itself is not Mumcha, that would be enough. Gemara says, they cannot meet smash that way from the mission. The Ketani V'loi B'Kameya B'Zman She'enoi Min HaMumcha. It says, as long as it's not from a mumcha. Shmami, no, you see from here that as long as the gavra is a mumcha, that would be enough for it to be considered a mumcha. Toisfis, in Dibra Maskel Afal Gaf, it's the first Dibra Maskel Afal Gaf, says, Nira, that if the Gemara said that if the gavra itself is becheskas, that he's a mumcha, that's enough for the kamei to be considered a kamei mumcha. Kolshke mimchi kamei, the like gavra. It's Pashit then, says Toysfis, that if it was in the other way, it would work as well. No, Rav Papa was just saying a chiddush. He was saying that you don't need both. It's enough if only the Gavra is a Mumcha. What if only the Kameh is a Mumcha? Kolshkin, that's going to work. The point is, if either one of them are Mumcha, that would be enough for it to be considered a Kameh Mumcha. You don't need both, whether it's the Gavra that's a Mumcha, whether it's the Kameh that's a Mumcha, that would be enough. And the Gemara now is going to digress on this point for a little bit. What's the definition of a kameya mumcha? Any mumcha that worked three times, that's considered a kameya mumcha. Echad kameya shoksav. It doesn't matter if this kameya was your typical kameya, like Rashi mentioned in the Mishnah, where psukim or shemais were written down on a paper. The echad kameya shalikarim. And it doesn't matter if the kameya was a bunch of herbs. So sometimes the kameya was herbs that were wrapped together, and the chayla would carry that, and that was the kameya. It doesn't matter which kameya it is, whether it's shoksav, shal ikrin. Either way, it's the same halach. Echad chayla sheish by sakana, ve'echad chayla sheim by sakana. This is important halach. This that we're saying, that a person's allowed to carry a kameya mumcha on Shabbos, is true even if he's a chayla she'en by sakana. Meaning, don't think that the only reason this is okay is when the person's a chayla she'yesh by sakana. No. Even if the person is a chayla she'en by sakana, it's still fine. Additionally, lo yishen nichba, it's not only okay to wear it if the person is already a chayla and he's wearing it for therapeutic purposes as a refuah. Ela shaloi kofa. It's also okay to wear it for preventative reasons. Additionally, you let it tie it and untie it in a rishus rabim. The only thing you shouldn't do is you shouldn't tie it to your jewelry. The eitz of rishus rabim should matter sign, because then it's going to look like it's part of your jewelry. Wearing jewelry on Shabbos, we know that's a big deal. So if it's going to look a little like you're not wearing it for refuah purposes, that's when you could run into a problem. Either way, so the price that just mentioned a whole bunch of halachos as it relates to kemeo. What was the first halacha? Tanu rabbanan, izeo kemeo. Mumcha, kol sheripa v'shana v'shilesh. If it worked three times, that is considered a kameya mumcha. Frate the Gemara kasha, v'tan v'lun t'rabraisa, izeo kameya mumcha, kol sheripa gimu b'nei adam ke'echad. What's the kasha? From the first brisa, it sounds like three times, even one person. From the second brisa, the emphasis on gimel bnei adam. The word ke'echa, the Rishonim say, is lav dafka. But the second brisa says, eizel kamei mumcha kol sheripa gimel bnei adam. It says, sounds like it has to work for three people. So from the first brisa, even one person. Three times, that's kameya mumcha. From the second brisa, it sounds like, no, it has to be three people. Zakti Gemara, like kasha, holam chuye gavra, holam chuye kameya. It's very simple. The first brisa was talking about establishing the kameya. If this kameya worked three times, even for the same person, that's a kameya mumcha. The second brisa was talking about establishing the gavra as a mumcha. To establish the gavra as a mumcha, what do you need to do? You need that three times he wrote a kameya, and this is important, for three different machlis, and they worked. That's how you would establish that this person is a mumcha, as far as a gavra goes, that all his kameyas are going to work. Three different machlis, so for that, you would need three people. Rashi says three people's lavdafka, but stam gimbal b'nei yodam shloishim minei chaloyim. Ninu. The point is, it's true, there is a theory between the two brises. One brise sounds like if a kameh works three times, even for one person, it's becheskas, it's a good kameh. One brise says that no, it has to be three times for three people. Is it a theory? It's not a theory. Because in the world of mumcha, there's two definitions. There's where the gavra is a mumcha, and then there's where the kameh is a mumcha. As it relates to the gavra being a mumcha, so for that, it would have to be three different chaloyim. So the brise just said three people, because stam three people will be three different chaloyim. As it relates to the kameh itself, for that, as long as it's one person, that would be enough. And again, what's the makar that whether the God was the mumcha, whether the kameya mumcha, either way, it's okay. That was what Rav Papa said. Rav Papa said right in the beginning of the sugya that when the Mishnah said v'loy b'kameya b'zman she'inim ben ha-mumcha, you don't need mumcha gavra and mumcha kameya, but rather it's either, either the gavra is the mumcha or the kameya is the mumcha. So in terms of establishing the gavra as a mumcha and establishing the kameya, it's a little different. One time you're establishing the gavra, so the gavra needs to establish itself three times. Otherwise, in the other case, it's the kameya. As relates to the gavra, three people or three different chalom, as relates to the kameya, even the same person is going to be okay. More from Rav Papa on this idea. I'm a Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, pshita, it's pasha to me. Klas kameya, klas gavri, klas zimna. If you would have three kameyas that worked three times for three different people, so the halach is ismachi gavra v'ismachi kameya. So basically what happened was three different people wrote three different kameyas and they worked for three different people. So in this case, the gavra established himself as his kameyas worked for three people, and the kameyas themselves established themselves as they worked as working three times. So now you have a chazaka both on the gavra, and you have a chazaka on the kameya as well. Meaning, ismachi gavra, vismachi kameya. Klasa kameya, the klasa gavri. What if you had three kameyas, and they were used for three different people, chad chad zimra. Meaning, each kameya was used once. So there the halacha is, again, somebody wrote three kameyas, three people, each person used it once. A gavri ismachi, the person himself got a chazaka, because his kameyas worked three times, but kameya lo ismachi, each individual kameya only worked once. What does it mean? If the gavra has a chazaka, doesn't it mean for sure the kameya has a chazaka? No. Because what if somebody else would write that kameya? Then it wouldn't work. As long as the gavra writes this kameya or any kameya, he would have a chazaka. But the kameya itself, this nusach itself doesn't have a chazaka. Chad kameya l'tlasa gavri. What if one kameya was used for three different people and it worked all three times. That's easy. Kameya ismachi, gavrele ismachi. In that case, the kameya has a chazaka. It's a mumcha now, but the person himself is not a mumcha. By Rapapa. Rapapa said, this is what I'm not sure about. Tlasa kameya, lechad gavremai. What happens if three kameyas were used for one person? So the question is, does it establish a chazaka? And all three times the person had a chazaka. Does it establish or does not? Meaning one person wrote three kameyas and he gave it to the same person. So the person got sick, he went to a Rebbe, a Mekobel, he wrote a Kameya, he had a refuah. He got sick again, same thing. He got sick again, the same thing. The Kameya doesn't have a Chazaka because it was three different Kameyas every time the person got sick. The question is, does the Gavra have a Chazaka or does he not have a Chazaka? So what's the Shaila? Kameya, Vadulay Ismachi. For sure the Kameya doesn't have a Chazaka because it was a different Kameya every time. But Gavra Ismachi or Lo Ismachi? What about the Gavra? Mi Amina, do we say Ha Asile? At the end of the day, this person healed this person. So you see, even though it was the same person, why should that be an issue? Or Dilmor, perhaps no. Maybe Mazel, the Hai Gavra, who the Mikabel Ksava. Maybe it's the Mazel of the person. Person, that somehow this individual person, he has a mazel that this guy's kameyas work. But as it relates to this person who wrote the kameya, maybe working for somebody else, maybe he would have to establish himself with three kameyas for three people. Maybe with one person, that itself wouldn't be enough. Teiku, and that was a teiku. So we want to know if you can have a gavra, can become a mumcha, if he wrote three kameyas for one person, or in order for him to become a mumcha, he would have to write three kameyos for three different people. Rashi, if you're holding cheshbon, asks a very obvious kasha. From the beginning of the sugya to the end of the sugya. We left off with a rapapa's shaila that the Gemara said, teiku. What was the shaila again? The shaila was where one person wrote three kameyas, all three worked, but it was for the same person. So the question is, do we say it's a chazaka that this person is a mumcha, he writes good kameyas, or maybe mazla the haigavra who the makabel, it's something about the recipient of it. It has nothing to do so much with the writing. I mean, the shaila is where the person established himself, but all for one person. How does that play itself out? In the beginning of the Gemara brought a braisa. Ezeo kameya mumcha, kol sheripa v'shana v'shilesh. And then we said, it only works if it was ripa gimel b'nei adam. So it sounds like a stira. Here it's mashma, even one person. Here it's mashma, three people. And the Gemara said it's not a kash. One, you're establishing the kameya, and the other one, you're establishing the gavra. Meaning, when it comes to establishing the kameya, you want to know if this kameya works. If it healed one person three times, it establishes the kameya. If that's the case, we have a stira. Because in the beginning of the Gemara, a kameya could become the cheskas mumcha, becheskas, that it works if it heals the same person three times. But when it came to the gavra, Bayi Rapapa, he wasn't sure. And he had a teiku, and he had a whole shayla over here. Do you say it's the mazel of the gavra? Do you say it's not the mazel of the gavra? I don't understand. When it came to the kameya, it was a braisa. The braisa said a kameya could become established as a kameya that works, a kameya mumcha, if it heals one person three times. That's a mefurish gemara, right in the beginning of the sugya. But when it comes to the being kaveh at the gavra, then we're not sure. Because maybe it's not the writer. Maybe it's actually the recipient. So Rashi says, the chilik is, in one case you're establishing the kameya, and the other place you're establishing the writer. When you're establishing the kameya, you're always going to assume the kameya is what's doing it. It's usually assumed it was the kameya, not the person that wrote the kameya. So a kameya works three times for one person. You don't assume it's the person. It's the makabel. You assume it was the kameya. But in the case where it's for sure the person, it wasn't the kameya, it was three different kameyas. There was one writer and one recipient. So the question now becomes, which person is making this happen? Is it the writer or maybe it's the recipient? That's where our papa wasn't sure. That's where he had a teiku. Where there's a tzad, it's the kameya. We're going to assume for sure it's the kameya. Where there's no tzad, it's the kameya. It's the person. And then the question is, which person? Is it the writer or is it the recipient? That was where papa shaila. And that's where our papa had as a teiku. One more gemara. Does a kameya have kedusha or not? So again, a kameya has psukim, it has shemus. Sakdoishim was written down in, as we know, as an amulet, wrapped together, and it was carried by a chayla. So the question is, does it have kedusha? The Gemara says, what do you want to know? The mashal, do you mean as it relates if there's a fire? So the halach is, if there's a fire on Shabbos, there's a whole shulchan aruch, a whole perek, called kisveh, of what you're allowed to say from a fire, what you're not allowed to say from a fire. So is that your shayla? You want to know if it has kedusha, if you're supposed to save it from a fire? On Shabbos, of course, during the week, obviously you save it. But on Shabbos, Toshma, Habra, brachos vakemeim, as relates to brachos that were written on paper, or a kemei avak b'sheyesh ben oisos u'minyanis harbish b'toyer. It has toyer, it has oisos. Ein matzil oisos b'nei adoleiko finis rofim b'mkoyman. The halach is you don't save it. So it's a mefurish mishnah. So that couldn't have been the shayla. Elin in geniza. Maybe the shayla is with regards to geniza. Meaning you have to hide it. You have to put it in the geniza. You have to put it in shemis. Or no, you don't have to treat it like a davish habiktusha. The Gemara says tashma. We know that as well. Hey, because of al yodeis hakelim. If someone had written the name of Hashem on yodeis hakelim, on the handle of a keli, valkari amita, on the boards of a bed, yogud, you have to chop it out, v'ignezenu, and you have to hide it. So you see clearly there is a din geniza. What's the difference between a kameya and the shame of Hashem that's written on the handle of a keli? Maybe the shaila was something else. The shaila was, are you allowed to walk into a beis hakise wearing a kameya? So what's the shaila? Yesh bem kedusha v'asu. Do you say it has kedusha, therefore it's also idolei bem kedusha v'shari? Maybe it doesn't have kedusha, it's going to be mutter. So the Gemara says tashma. V'loy b'kameya, b'zman she'in ben amumcha. The Mishnah said you're not allowed to wear a kameya if it wasn't written by a mumcha. A mumcha, nothing. As we saw in the whole sugya, a kameya that was written by a mumcha or a kameya that's a kameya mumcha. Either one of those cases, you're allowed to wear on Shabbos. What's the kasha? A bomba kasha. Now, if you're going to tell me that a kameya has kedusha, meaning you're not allowed to take it into a beis hakise, you shouldn't be able to wear it in a rishus harabim. Because zimnim demitztarich lebeis hakise. Because what happens if you're in your rishus harabim? It's Shabbos and you have to go to the bathroom. So what are you going to do? You can't take the kameya in with you to the bathroom. So you know what you might do? Va'asi leisuyainu dalet ames b'rishus harabim. You may end up carrying your dalet ames b'rishus harabim. So why is there no such chash? We have so many halachas gzeir Hashem yavirenu dal rames b'shus harabim. Hoytzazim halacha grua. The chachamim enforced it. We are mevatel mitzvahs eses deiraisa like shayfer and dalud minim because of Hashem yavirenu dal rames b'shus harabim. So wouldn't it make sense you shouldn't be able to wear a kameya because you can't take it into the bathroom and you may come to carry it? Oh, must be you are allowed to take it into the bathroom. Or says no. Hachav mayaskinon b'kameya shol ikrin. Maybe the Mishnah that says you're allowed to wear a kameya on Shabbos is talking about a kameya that didn't have a ksav yad. It was a kameya of herbs. The kameya of herbs didn't have any shemos on it. That's the one that you're allowed to wear outside. That one you can take into the bathroom. As a result, there's no gzeru shema yavi redu. But the Gemara says the time we're into the brayse echad kameya shel ksav vechad shemayel shel ikar. Right, we had the brayse on the bottom of samach aleph amid aleph. It said clearly that the halachas of the mishnah negeya even a kameya shel ksav. So it's not true. It's only true with regards to ikon. Elach mayaskino bechelush esh b'sakana. No, maybe the mishnah is talking about a chelush esh b'sakana. Oh, chelush esh b'sakana. All bets are off. You do what you have to do. But the Gemara says, Vatanya, the same Bryce said, Echad Chayla She'esh Bay Sakana, Ve'echad Chayla She'esh Bay Sakana. So the Gemara says a different teretz. Elokivan de Masi, being that the whole purpose of the Kameya is it's a refuah for the person, we look at it as part of the person. This is a big chiddush, this farah. We look at it as a malbush of the person. And Afa Gafte Nokutle Biyode Nami Shaper Domi. What are you worried about? The person may take it off and he may carry a dal and amos b'rishus harabim, you have nothing to worry about. You know why? Because even if he ends up carrying it, it's fine. Because a kameya is not carrying if you're wearing it. A kameya is not carrying if you're holding it. Wow. Faith Gemara. Number one, it's a chiddush. But besides Vatanya, we learned to the Braisa, Rabbi Shaya, I'm actually said, Rabbi Shaya said, yeah, it's true. The Mishnah said, Chazal said, you could wear a kameya on Shabbos. But don't carry it. He said, you're not allowed to carry it. Elohach mayaskina b'mechupar. It's talking about where it was covered with leather. Oh, if it's covered with leather, there's no problem bringing it into a Beis HaKiseh. If it's covered, it's okay. But the Gemara says, what about tefillin? Vari tefillin b'mechupar. Tefillin is also covered, right? You have batim around your tefillin. And still, the time we learned to the Braisa, Hanichnas the Beis Hakise, Brachis Tav Chav Kimmel. Someone has to enter the Beis Hakise and he's wearing his tefillin, Chayla it's tefillin. He has to take his tefillin off, Berichok Arba Amis, as long within, you know, 4 Amis away from the Beis Hakise, Hanichnas. Only then he's allowed to go into the bathroom. So you see, just because something's covered doesn't necessarily mean you're allowed to bring it into a Beis Hakise. Someone says, no, tefillin's different. Hasam Ishum Shin. There's a shin on the tefillin. Abin, there's a shin on the tefillin. That is one of the shame mois of Hashem. Shaka. Amr Abaya, Abaya said, Shin Shal Tefillin. Halach Lamoish Misir. Amr Abaya, Abaya. It said dalid shel tefillin, the kesher in the back of the shel roish, which is shaped like a dalid, is also halacha l'moish mesinah. Amar Abaya, Abaya said yud shel tefillin, the yud of the tefillin shel yad is halacha l'moish mesinah. But it's the shin and the dalid and the yud together that makes the name shakai. So it comes out even though the tefillin, the parshias themselves are covered, but you still are the name of Hashem is still somewhat exposed, and it's for that reason you're not allowed to take tefillin into a beis hakiseh. But if you would take a kameya that was covered with ar into a beis hakiseh, it would be okay, regardless from the fact that you're allowed to wear a kameya on Shabbos. Is not a raya that you're allowed to take a kameya into a Beis HaKiseh. What do you mean? If you're not allowed to take it into a Beis HaKiseh, then there should be Gzeir Hashem Yavirenu, Dal Ramis, Beshus HaRabim. The Teretz is, Hocha B'mayaskino, where it was covered. covered. There's no such concern. And for that reason, it's not going to be a problem. One last line. V'lei b'shiryan, v'lei b'kasta, v'lei b'magafayin. So the Mishnah was concluding its list of things that a man is not allowed to wear in Shabbos. So he can't wear shiryan, kasta, and magafayin. So what are these things? So the Gemara, shiryan is zarda. So zarda is armor, as in the knight in shining armor. So that whole uniform, person's not allowed to wear on Shabbos. Kasda, what's that? Amarav sanvirosa. Rashi says, this is a kova, it's a hat, or made of leather, pachas kova matches. So underneath the metal hat, they used to wear something a little bit more comfortable, can't wear that on Shabbos either. And finally, magafayim. What is that? Amarav, Rav said pismiki. Rashi says these are boots, very tall boots, that are also made out of barzel that were used in war. Regardless, this form of armor is something that you're not allowed to wear on Shabbos, exhale. So just two ha'aris, as it relates to today's daf, two classic Meshachachma. So the first is the Gemara had a discussion right at the beginning of the daf, a well-known discussion. That is when a person puts on his shoes. Do you put your right shoe on first or do you put your left shoe on first? The Braisa said you're supposed to put your right shoe on first. Rabbi Yochanan said, Kitfilin kach menalim. No, you put your shoes on the same way you put your tefillin on. And just like tefillin, you're supposed to put on your left hand if you're a righty. You put it on your weaker hand. So too, when you put your shoes on, you should put your left shoe on first. Rabbi Yosef commented that being that we have a brice on one hand, and we have Rabbi Yochanan on the other hand, the Ovid Hachi Ovad, the Ovid Hachi Ovad, if you want to put your right shoe on first, that's fine. If you want to put your left shoe on first, that's going to be fine, okay. I'm Rav Nachman by Yisrael, Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, except that I'll tell you what I observed from a Yori Shemayim. There was a Yori Shemayim, and his name was Mar Bered Rabbanu. And what he did was, he was Mekayim Shneim. Meaning, he used to put his right shoe on first and his left shoe on first. How's that possible? First, he would put his right shoe on. Afterwards, he would put his left shoe on. Meaning he's put his right shoe on first, but when it came to tying his shoes, he would first tie his left shoe, and then afterwards he would tie his right shoe. What's the cheshbon? So Tosfos says, because it actually works better with the concept of kitfilin, kach minalin. Because what does it mean, kitfilin? Just like you put your tefillin on your left hand, when you put your tefillin on your left hand, what are you doing? Ukshartem. What you're doing is you're tying it on your left hand. So the comparable, the tsushtel is tying your shoe. So right usually has a chashiva to put your right shoe on first. But when it comes to tying your shoe, there's an idea of ketfilin kach menalim. As a result, you should tie your shoe the way you tie your tefillin onto your hand, which is your left hand. Rabbi Kiva Eger, in Erechayim, Simin Beis, in Agoyis and Shulchan Aruch, brings a davar niftah, b'shem, a sefer emek hamelech. He says, yesh lo seis tam l'shvach. Why is it that Rabbi Yochanan said, ketfilin kach menalim? Because at first glance, what shaykh is? What does tefillin have to do with shoelaces? So, just like you tie your shoe, you put your tefillin on your left hand, so too you should tie your shoes in your left hand. What does one have to do with the other? So, Kedega says that he found in the sefer emek hamelech, who said pshat based on a gemara, mesech de soito, daf yud zayin amad aleph. Dorash Rava, Rava said, b'schar shom avram avinu, now, when Avram Avinu told Melech Stoim in Chut Vatzroich now, so the context is Parshas Lech Lecha, after the war between the kings. So Avram Avinu saved Melech Stoim, and Melech Stoim was very makir toiv. So he comes over to him and he says, "Vayomer Melech Stoim el Avram, teili anefesh varuchush kachlo. You can take whatever you want." So Avram Avinu turns to Melech Stoim, and in dramatic form, he tells him, "Vayomer Avram el Melech Stoim, Hari Moisi Yodi el Hashem Kel Elyoin Koinei Shemayim Va'aretz in Michut Vatzroich now." He said, "Now am I going to take your rechush? I'm not going to take anything. I won't even take a chut or a tzroich now. I won't even take a thread or a shoelace. I won't take anything, so that you shouldn't be able to walk around town saying, 'Ani asharti as Avram. I'm the reason for Avram's success. I'm the one that made Avram into a gevir.'" Says the Gemara Masechta Soita Daf Yizayin Aben Aleph, Darash Rava B'schar Shom Avram Avinu Imichut Vatzroich Now, because Avram Avinu didn't want to take a chut or a tzroich now from Avram from Melech Stoim. Zochu Banal Beis Mitzvahs. Avram Avinu's descendants merited two mitzvahs: Chut Shal Cheles for a tzur shal tefillin. Avram Avinu said, "I won't take a chut." We got the mitzvah of chut shal tcheles. Avram Avinu said, "I won't take a sroich now. I won't take shoelaces." We were zeichah to the Ritzua Shel Tefillin. We were zoichet to the mitzvah of Tefillin. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger that I saw in the Sefer Eben Makam Melech. He said a davar niflo. You want to know pshat on Rabbi Yochanan? Why Rabbi Yochanan said ki Tefillin kach menalim ma'inyan shmita etzal ar Sinai ma'inyan Tefillin etzal menalim. What is the way you put Tefillin on have to do with the way you tie your shoes? It's because we were zeichet in the mitzvah of tefillin. Because Avraham Avinu told Melech Stoyim, I won't take shoelaces. So if the reason we got the mitzvah of tefillin is because Avraham Avinu said shoelaces, so there is a connection between shoelaces and tefillin. We got the whole mitzvah of tefillin because of shoelaces. That's why for Alad Doris, the halacha became, ketfillin kach minalim, the same way you put on your sreich now, the same way you tie your shoelaces, like my brother Avinu said, that's the same exact way that you're supposed to put on tefillin. On this pasuk right here, that I want to be myself one neifach to this. And that is, the halacha is, we saw this in the sugya of Elisha Bal Knafayim, not so long ago. That mi'ikra adin, how's a person supposed to wear tefillin? He's supposed to wear tefillin the whole day. So the real way to wear tefillin is to wear tefillin the whole day. But the Torah says, being that it's very hard to wear tefillin ke Elisha Bal Knafayim, meaning with a guf naki, so we don't wear tefillin the whole day. So you put on tefillin at one time of the day. When? Shachris. So the time you put on tefillin is shachris. That's when you put on your talis. That's when you put on tefillin. Really, tefillin's meant to be worn the whole day. Remember the Vilna Gaon and the Maaser Rav said that if he had the koyach, he would have ran around the world and he would have lobbied, that he would have tried to do whatever he could do. Like the Sma got people. He used to go from shtetl to shtetl to tell people that they have to wear tzitzis. He said, did the Vilna Gaon, that I would have gone from shtetl to get people to wear tefillin the whole day, at the very least for mincha, but I would have gone tefillin to wear tefillin. But the point is, really supposed to wear it the whole day. This is a b'di'evid, ben b'noishol b'di'evid. What we do is, it's hard for people to wear tefillin the whole day, it's very difficult to keep a guf naki, so you wear it one time during the day. When do you wear it? By shachris. Says Ramei Simcha, Meshach Achman, why shachris? Why? Why is that the time you wear tefillin? What does it have to do with shachris? That's not inherently related to shachris. Again, really supposed to wear it the whole day. You can't. Okay, so but the other, just find the time to put it on. When? Shachris. Says Ramei Simcha, I think it's this Gemara. Because why were we zeichet to the mitzvah of tefillin? It's because of what Avraham Avinu said. Avraham Avinu said, v'michut v'atzreich now. So it comes out we got the mitzvah of tefillin because of something Avraham Avinu said. Who was misaking shachris? Avraham Avinu. That's why you want to know when we wear tefillin. We wear tefillin during the tefillah of Avraham Avinu, which is the tefillah of shachris. So the reason ketfillin kach menalim is related to the fact that Avraham Avinu said v'michut v'atzroich now. And the reason we wear tefillin by shachris, says Ramei Simcha, is also related to the fact that Avraham Avinu said v'michut v'atzroich now. So either way, from that pasuk that Avraham Avinu said v'michut v'atzroich now to Melech Stoyim and Parshas Lech Lecha, Darash Rava Gemara Masechta Soita, that we got two mitzvahs because of that, chut shel tcheles and ritzuy shel tefillin keneged sreich now, from this dvar agada and a maisa shahaya that the Torah tells in Parshas Lech Lecha, we have two halachos gedolos. We have the halacha of how you're supposed to put on shoes. That's a halacha in our Chaim Simon Beis, and then we have halacha as relates to tefillin. That if a person's not going to do the lekatchil and tefillin, he's not going to wear tefillin the whole day. What is the next best thing? The next best thing is to do it during Avraham Avinu's tefillah. It should be done during the tefillah of shachris. That's the first star. The second aura is another classic, epic Meshech Achma. And that is as follows. The Gemara said, Amar le Rabbi Yochanan le Rabbi Shemen bar Abba. Rabbi Yochanan told Rabbi Shemen bar Abba, Havli misanoi, pass my shoes. And Rabbi Shemen bar Abba gave him his right shoe. And he says, oh, yeah, I'm going to right shoe. Once I put on my right, I can't put on my left. It's going to look like I have a makkah, which had a little bit to do with our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah said, a person is not allowed to go outside on Shabbos with only one shoe. From there, we got into a digression, how you put your shoes on right, left, sreich nal, chut, classic Meshech Achma, etc., etc. But omale Rav Yoichanon, l'Rav Shemen Barabba, havli misanoi. From that one line, omale Rav Yoichanon, l'Rav Shemen Barabba, you don't have to go weiter. From that one line, Rav Meir Simcha, in Parshas Emor says, I have a makar to a tremendous chiddush that the Ramah brings in a Rechaim Simen Kuf Chav Ches, the last Ramah in Hilchas Nesias Kapayim. This is a beautiful Shtikl Torah, and it's just another example of a short piece of Meshech Achma that brings out the absolute greatness of Rav Meir Simcha. But in order to understand and appreciate this Vart, we need a little bit of an introduction. The Mordechai in Perek HaNezakin, and we discussed this together as a Chabura in the second Perek of Masechta Zvachim. So a little while ago. But the Mordechai in Perek HaNezakin brings a story. Ma'isa Shahoya Kachoya. Bekoyen Sheyotzak Mayim Al Yedei Rabbeinu Tan. Rabbeinu Tam was Rabban Shel Kol B'nei Agoila. And he had a Talmud. And the Talmud poured water for him. Rabbeinu Tam asked him if he could pour water for him. And this Talmud was being Meshamish Rabbeinu Tam. And there was another Talmud there. Fikshalei Talmud. And the other Talmud was there. He said, I don't understand, Rabbeinu Tam. How could you allow this Talmud to serve you? You see, this Talmud was a Kohen. And the Yerushalmi says, HaMeshtamish B'Kohuna Mo'al. If someone has Hanah from a Kohen, he's over the Isser Me'iva. Just like you're not allowed to benefit personally from Hekdesh, you're not allowed to benefit personally from a Kohen. So there was a Talmud that said, Rabbeinu Tam, how are you letting this person serve you water? How are you letting him take care of you? He's a Kohen. You're not allowed to have enough from a Kohen. The Heshav Loi. So Rabbeinu Tam was there. Rabbeinu Tam told him, Ein ben mishum kedusha. No, you have nothing to worry about. This Kohen, he has no kedusha. He said, you know why? Because Chazal say, Bizman she bigdeyam aleim, if a Kohen's wearing his bigdey kohuna, kedusha aleim. But Ein bigdeyam aleim, you have nothing to worry. He has no kedusha. He's allowed to serve me. What did Rabbeinu Tam mean? He meant the Gemara in Zvachin, where the Gemara says that if a Kohen does the Avodah without wearing his bigdei kahuna, he's considered a mechuser begadim. A mechuser begadim that does the Avodah, number one, the Avodah is possible. Number two, depending on which Avodah the Kohen did, he's going to be chayiv misa. And the Gemara says a lumdisha reason why. Because a Kohen only has his kedusha if he's wearing his bigdei kahuna. Bigdei amaleim, kedusha samaleim. A Kohen, vastroknish the bigdei kahuna, has a din of a zar. He has a din of a Yisrael. A Yisrael's not allowed to do the Avodah. A Yisrael that does any Avodah tama is chayav misa. So as a result, the Gemara says a kohen is not allowed to do the avoda without wearing his big dekuna. So Rabbeinu Tam told the Tal, he says, "No, I'm allowed to ask him to be mishamishi. I know he's a kohen, and I know the Yerushalmi says I'm mishamish bekohuna mal, but he's not wearing big dekuna. Look at him. And if he's not wearing his big dekuna, he has no kedushas kuna. So if he has no kedushas kuna, you have nothing to worry about. But this Talmud was persistent. He turned to Rabbeinu Tam and he said, Rebbe, im kein kol mina kedusha loy liavodahu. He should have no kedusha at all. A kohen is manas. Should be able to marry a grusha. I don't know. He should have no halachas of kedusha. Says the Mardchai the Shasik Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam heard this. He was quiet. He didn't respond. But the Mardchai continues. He says there was another one of the Bali Toysus that were there. Rabbeinu Peter, also known as Rabbeinu Peter. So he was there, and he turned and he says, "No, this whole thing is a tois." He said, "This whole thing is a tois." He said, "This Talmud is allowed to serve Rabbeinu Tam. You have nothing to worry about. You know why? The Heshiv Rabbeinu Peter, because the Neu the Yesh behem Kedusha. But Yochai Rimcha, who says a Kohen is not allowed to be Michael Al Kvaydei? The Gemara says, 'Avsha Michael Al Kvaydei Kvaydei Michael.' Right? His son's not supposed to sit in his father's seat. What if his father says, 'Don't worry about it. You consider Avsha Michael Al Kvaydei Kvaydei Michael.' Harav Shemachal Al Kvaydei Kvaydei Michael. A Melech Shemachal Al Kvaydei is in Kvaydei Michael." Said Rabbeinu Peter, "I have a raya," and he brought a raya that a Koyin Shemachal Al Kvaydei is Kvaydei Michael. So he said, "What are you worried about? It's fine. This Talmud is, he's doing it lovingly. This is his Greiser Rebbe, Rabbeinu Tam. He's so happy to serve him. He wants to make him a tea, a coffee. Don't worry about it. It's fine." And being that he's a Kohen Shemachal Al Kvaydei, a Kohen Shemachal Al Kvaydei, Kvaydei Machal. In other words, Rabbeinu Tam had a Talmud that was a Kohen. Serve him. And a big tumult erupted amongst the Talmidim. What's going on over here? It's true, Rabbeinu Tam is the Rebbe. But a Kohen? A Kohen's not a Bima Shamish is... you're not going to have enough from a Kohen. The Yerushalmi says, I'm a Shamish Pekohuna Mahal. And there were two terutzim that were floated around. One teretz was what Rabbeinu Tam said. Rabbeinu Tam said that, no, he's not wearing his big dekuna. If he's not wearing his big dekuna, you have nothing to worry about. But the Talmud had a good response to that. He says, Aaron said, if that's the case, so there should be no kedushas kuna at all. Must be this idea that you find a kohen is only a kohen where he's bringing his big dekuna. That's as it relates to doing avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. But ordinarily, it's not something that you say. V'shasik Rabbeinu Tam. And then Rabbeinu Peter came in. Rabbeinu Peter said, you have nothing to worry about anyways, because he's a kohen shemachal al kvaydai. The kohen shemachal al kvaydai, the halacha is that kvaydai machal. Now what's the makar to this Yerushalmi? Hamishtamish pekuhuna mal. It's a pasuk in the Torah. It's a pasuk that the Gemara quotes often. It's a halacha that we're all somewhat familiar with. And that is in Parshas Emor, the Vachage Parsha. It says, Viki dashtoi ki es lechem elokecha hu makriv. Kadosh yelach, ki kadosh ani Hashem mikadishchem. V'kidashtoi. You have a mitzvah to be mekadosh a kohen. And from the halacha v'kidashtoi, we learn a lot of halachas. It's the reason that the kohen gets the first aliyah. It's the reason you're supposed to be mechaber a kohen with benching. It's the reason you can't be mishtamish with a kohen. It's related to this idea of v'kidashtoi. That's where the Yerushalmi got its halacha from. Either way, this was the tumult that happened with Rabbeinu Tam. The Ramah in Simen Kuf Chav Ches brings this halacha. Also lehishtamish b'kohen. Afilu bizman hazeh. It's also to be mishtamish with a kohen. Afilu bizman hazeh. Dahavi kemoil behektish. Im loy machal akach. Unless the kohen was Michael. What's the makar? It's Rabbeinu Peter, Rabbeinu Peter in this Mardchai right here, who said that really the Tam was right, meaning Rabbeinu Tam had no business taking anything from this Tam because the Tam was a Kayin. This is a halacha of Kidashtoi. This is a halacha of if someone's Mishtamish for Kayin, Harezemal. But at the same time, Rabbeinu Tam understood what he was doing, and the reason it was fine is because the Kayin was Machal Akvaida. Meaning this is what's brought down in halacha. You now would be Mishtamish with a Kayin, but at the same time, the halacha also is that Kayin Shemachal Akvaida. Says Rav Meir Simcha two things. Number one, Rav Meir Simcha says, what was Rabbeinu Tam's svara? I don't understand. The Talmud asked Rabbeinu Tam, what are you doing? He says, you have no right, he's a kohen. So Rabbeinu Tam says, he's not wearing his big day kahuna. And then the Talmud came up with a very obvious answer. If you're going to tell me that a kohen that doesn't have big day kahuna is not a kohen, so then there's no kohanim today. So how do you make pidyon haben? Nothing makes any sense. Kohanim don't have big day kahuna. The shasik Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam didn't know this. Rabbeinu Tam didn't have an answer. So Rav Meir Simcha says in classic Rav Meir Simcha form, he says, I'm going to tell you what was really going through Rabbeinu Tam's mind. I think Rabbeinu Tam was coming from a Tosfos. A Tosfos in Masechtas Ksubis, Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, a well-known Tosfos. The Gemara says, B'yom Shemes Rebbe, the day that Rabbeinu HaKadosh left this world, Batla Kedusha. There was no more Kedusha in the world. Pashup Shad is because Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was known as Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He was the holiest man in the world. And as a result, Batla Kedusha. The Gemara says somewhere else that Yom Shemets Rebbe Batla Anava. He was the most humble person in the world. He was also a very holy person. Rabbeinu HaKadosh. As a result, Batla Kedusha. But Tosfos brings a different shot. Tosfos says that Reb Chaim Koyin Hoya Omer. That one of the Bali Tosfos, Reb Chaim, used to say, Umoli Hoyisi. Had I been present when Rabbeinu Tam passed away, I would have been mitamal to Rabbeinu Tam. Reb Chaim Koyin, Kishmoy Kachi, was a Koyin. He was not allowed to be mitamal to a mace. But he said, had I been present when Rabbeinu Tam was nifter, I would have been mitamal to Rabbeinu Tam. You know why? Because he was Rabban Shel Kol Bnei Agoyla. And when the Gadol Hador passes away, Batul Kedusha. You know what Batul Kedusha means? There's no Kedusha's Kahuna. You're allowed to be Metamah to a Kohen. That's what Rabbi Chaim Kohen said. Says Rabbi Simcha, that if that's the case, if Rabbeinu Tam, when he passed away, would have defied the laws of Kahuna, meaning a Kohen would have allowed to be Metamah to him, even though a Kohen in the Torah, it's Medeiraisi, he's not allowed to be Metamah to a Mez. Abba Merednach for Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbeinu Tam is Batul Kedusha. Kal v'choyme b'chayev, says Rabbi Simcha. It's partial Rabbeinu Tam was alive, Dalach, it was the same thing. So it's true, Amishtamish b'Kahuna is not okay. But at the same time, for Rabbeinu Tam, it's mutter. Because if Rabbi Chaim Kohen would be allowed to be Metamet Rabbeinu Tam lacha moisai because batul kedusha, the Reb Chaim Kohen would be allowed to serve Rabbeinu Tam, and this Talmud that the Mardchai brings up Berakat Zaka was also allowed to serve Rabbeinu Tam, just like he too could have been metamet. It's the same Rabbeinu Tam. So says Rabbeinu Simcha, I think that's Pshan Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbeinu Tam knew this. He said Rabbeinu Tam knew this. However, but mitoich loyrotzol lito gedula laatzma. He didn't want to tell this to the Talmud. I'm Rabbeinu Tam. I'm different. See, he kept it quiet. He kept it for himself. Vishasik Rabbeinu Tam. But don't think Rabbeinu Tam ever meant what he said. He knew that's not what he meant. He meant because you're not wearing big day kahuna. He didn't know the follow up. Was Rabbeinu Tam had gemeint as erz andish as Rabbeinu Tam, and because he's Rabbeinu Tam, and Reb Chaim HaKohen says that batul kedusha to Rabbeinu Tam, certainly b'chayev was batul kedusha as well. I was thinking the Lashon, the Shasik Rabbeinu Tam. We mentioned many times the Chavos Yoreh in the Tshuva and Siman Kuf Nun Beis says that there's many times in Shas where it says Shasik Rav. Rabbi Kiv Eger in Gilyan HaShas, Sukkot Av Zayin Medal, if you could look it up, there's a whole list of places where it says in the Gemara Shasik Rav. Rav was a Shaskin. The Rambam says, Amra Rav Talmud Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Shalai Sach Sicha B'tei L'Kol Yom. But that Nusach, Shasik Rav, you find all the time. But the Chavos Yoreh in the Tshuva says that he saw in the Sfarim of the Ramami Pano, who brings b'shem the mekubalim that wherever it says shasik rav hoyo loy leheshav al pi asoid v'loy rotzel legalis, he had what to say al pi asoid v'loy rotzel legalis. Maybe this is a little bit of a remiss to Rav Meir Simcha. V'shasik rabbeinu tam hoyo loy lahashiv, says Rav Meir Simcha, he had what to answer v'loy rotzel legalis. He didn't want to be megalo the emes. The emes was rabbeinu tam. That's mishameis rebbe batul kedusha kol shkein b'chayev. And as a result, this wasn't going to be an issue. Either way, says Rav Meir Simcha, whether pshad and why Rabbeinu Tam told the Talmud you can make me a cup of coffee was related to the fact because he was Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos Ksubas Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. Whether pshad was like Rabbeinu Peter says, like the Ramah says, that maybe the reason was because Koyin Shemachal Kfeida Kfeida Machal, says Rav Meir Simcha, whatever the pshad zol nishzayin, I have a raya. I have a right to eat the pshad. I've arrived from a Gemara. A Gemara Masech the Shabbos, Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. Again, this is where Rabbi Simcha saw things that people just don't say. Oh, Malay Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shemin Bar Abba, Havli Mesanoi. Rabbi Yochanan turns Rabbi Shemin Bar Abba. He says, will you pass my shoes? Freik, Rabbi Simcha. Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Shemin Bar Abba, pass my shoes. It's a Gemara Masech the Ksubis, Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Rashi over there says that Rabbi Shemin Bar Abba was a Kayan. So he says, if he was a Kayan, how did he ask him to pass his shoes? Doesn't mean he's being Mishtamish Pekahuna. It's Mamish the Meister with Rabbi Natan. How did he ask him to do it? Says Rabbi Simcha. You know, you have to say, either Rabbi Yochanan was Rabbi Shalkol B'nei Agayla, Kiyodua, the great Rabbi Yochanan. So he was Rabbi Natan, maybe Rabbi Yudan Asi. Or you have a Raya, like the Rama says, that at the end of the day, Kayan Shemachal Al Kvaydai, Kvaydai Machal. But this story of Rabbi Natan that was Marishai Wamais, this pages and pages of Ray, on this Agayis Martcha, says, Rameir Simcha, it's a Mefurish Gemara. Everyone knows the Martcha. It made a lot of noise in the Kaislei based Medrash. It's Mamash Gemara, says Rameir Simcha. Oh, Malay Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Shemin Bar Abba, pass my shoes. Adkan, right shoe, left shoe. You don't even have to come to the other Rameir Simcha. This is a classic writer. Just that one line. This is classic Rameir Simcha.